whether I thank the organizers for the opportunity to give this talk. So I want to talk about calligraphication of quantum SLK plus one tensor products, or to be more precise, highest weight modules, and in some sense their ambient tensor product spaces. So let me just start first with the basic setup and all the notations. So the Lie algebra that I'm mostly be talking about, set will be SLK plus 1 over C. And by lambda, I will usually note a dominant integral weight. And by V lambda, the corresponding highest weight module. Of highest weight lambda. And I want to view this as a submodule, of course, for the obvious module of tensor products where it sits inside. So for this, I want to write lambda as a sum, lambda I times the fundamental weights, and then just denote by T lambda the tensor product over those fundamental representations, taking to their lambda i's tensor power, and then the tensor product over all of these. So this V of lambda somehow sits inside there as the, well, really the highest component in this tensor product. Then in addition, I want to denote by UQ SLK plus 1 the corresponding quantum group. So let me just fix the generator. Should be EI, FI, and KI to the plus minus 1. And of course, plus some relations that I don't want to write down, but just the usual relations. And of course, we then have the corresponding modules for the quantum group, and I just denote them by the same letters, just with a small q on the bottom. So by VQ lambda and TQ lambda, the corresponding modules for the quantum group. So what is then the goal? The goal is to categorify these two modules. VQ lambda and TQ lambda as UQ SLK plus 1 modules. So just remind you what I mean by that. So what we want to do is we want to find categories OQ lambda and curly TQ lambda, such that the following two things hold. We want to have, for each of these generators, we want to have an endofunctor of these two categories. So the first property is there exist exact endofunctors EI tilde, FI tilde, and KI plus minus 1 tilde on these two categories. Well, a priori, I mean any, but of course in the end they will be abelian categories. So I will take in the end category O, so they, in the end I will choose abelian categories for that. TQ lambda, such that they satisfy the quantum group relations, and of course just up to natural equivalence. So they can't really do it for real equality, but just up to natural equivalence. So they should satisfy the quantum group relations up to natural equivalence. Well, if we have abelian categories and exact endofunctors, they will induce endomorphisms on the corresponding Grothendieck groups. And since they satisfy the quantum group relations up to natural equivalence, these endomorphisms will really satisfy the quantum group relations. So the Grothendieck groups of these two categories will naturally be modules for this quantum group UQS or K plus 1. And of course, we want those modules to be isomorphic to our chosen module. So via these induced operations, this should be isomorphic to VQ lambda, and this to TQ lambda as UQSLK plus 1 modules. So of course, the first question is then, what is a good candidate for that, for these categories? And the candidate that I choose will be the BGG category O. So let me first remind you how this is defined. And recall one of the basic properties that we will need. Second part should be BGG category O for Bernstein, Gelfand, and Gelfand. So what is this? For this, we choose G. In this case, semi-simple Lie algebra. This, of course, works in a much broader, more general setup, which is choose this one. In here, we use G of L, H of Cartan, and then by O of G, we will denote these G modules such that the first condition M is finitely generated. Our Borel acts locally nilpotent. And it is H semi-simple. So in other words, has a weight space decomposition for H. And one of the nice features of this category is that it decomposes into a nice set of blocks. So we can write this category as a direct sum over some O chi of G, where we have this chi in some indexing set, and this indexing set, I don't want to tell you how it looks as a whole indexing set, but just a quite important part of it. So this is for some set lambda, but such that the dominant weights, not only dominant but also integral, such that the integral dominant weights line this set. So we have a block for each dominant integral weight. And, well, this is exactly the reason why in the end this whole categorification will work, because we can just choose a suitable number of blocks for this category, and that will be our categorification. Before I go to the quantum case, let me just shortly review the classical setup where we don't use UQSLK modules, but just SLK plus 1 modules. And tell you how that works and how that can be lifted to the quantum case. So this goes back to the work of Bernstein, Frenkel, and Kovanov in the original SL2 case. Brunton and Kleshev in the general SLK case, and well, there are a lot of other contributors to various special cases. I want to stick to those two groups of authors as the main contributors. And well, I don't only want to look at the classical case, but a very special situation in the classical case. So we want to restrict the lambda to a very special type of weight. In the end, we'll see whether that is completely enough to get the general case. So I want to have that lambda as a multiple of the first fundamental weight. In the end, that will be enough to get all the others as well, which of course means that this T lambda is just, well, it's just the natural representation of SLK plus 1, so C to the K plus 1, and full tensor product with itself. So very simple module. And well, we choose, of course, a nice basis for this. For this V omega 1, so just the standard basis such that the generators map one basis element just to the next one, and all the others killed them. And then, of course, we can look at a basis of this T lambda and see what would be a good category to categorify this. So what is a basis of T lambda? Well, that's, of course, easy. It's just an n-fold tensor product, so we just choose any n-tuple of these basis elements. In such a way that these mu I lie between 1 and k plus 1. That's, of course, just the basis for this. Of course, we can just forget those v's. Just look at the indexing set. So this is, of course, in bijection, one-to-one correspondence with just these tuples. And of course, since the restriction is only that they have to lie in a specific range, we can permute this tuple however we want. It will still lie in this set. So with each of these tuples, we can look at any permutation of it. It will still lie in there. So we can decompose this into orbits under the symmetric group in n letters. And of course, we look at a suitable representative for each orbit, and we just choose the one such that the tuples are decreasing. So this is also in one-to-one bijection with, we take the disjoint union, that set over the decreasing sets, of course, greater or equal to 1, smaller or equal to k plus 1, and then we take here the symmetric group and the orbit of the symmetric group of this element mu 1 up to mu n. So we have decomposed our basis into a nice number of sets, and all of these can be interpreted as leaf theoretic because, well, we have mu 1 greater or equal to mu 2 up to mu n. This is nothing else than a dominant weight for GLN, and the symmetric group is, of course, the Weyl group for GLN. So we can hope to get to the category O for GLN in some sense. So observation, of course, W has n is the Weyl group of GLN, and mu 1 is a dominant weight. For GLN, and then there's an OR theorem, which was already proven by Bernstein, Gelfand, and Gelfand, about the structure of the blocks of category O. So if we use category O for GLN, and we take the dominant weight mu, the set, the dominant weights are part of the indexing set, so we can take that block. This has a nice, well, let's only take that, but only the Grothendieck group of this one, has a basis of Verma modules and this basis looks as following. So we take M for Verma module and some W and W to the mu. And well, what is this that will be to the mu? Well, this is the following. These are shortest coset representatives this thing, where this W mu is the stabilizer of mu. Well, but if you think about that, we have some tuple mu, and then just the orbit under those elements that are shortest coset representatives. Well, that's of course exactly the same as up there. So this is exactly this thing here. This is exactly W mu times mu. So each of these blocks has a basis that is indexed by the same thing as we have decomposed our basis up there. So we have a natural candidate for our category. We just take the blocks to the same dominant weights we chose up there. And in the end, this will already work, so we don't have to do anything more for the category. So we have the candidate. Our category T lambda, which should of course be the same as up there, just without the Q, so it should be the categorification of this stuff. For SLK plus 1, should just be the direct sum of all those mu, which are decreasing, which lie between 1 and K plus 1, and then we take O mu of GLN. Then, of course, the Grothendieck group of this thing, if we view it as a vector space, has exactly the right dimension, and, well, the blocks exactly correspond to our decomposition we took over there. So that's all fine, but we still, of course, need the functors. Well, let me just describe that vaguely. So we need, let me, for example, do the Fi. The Fi, it should work on one of these blocks, but well, of course, we want a functor from the whole category. And what we'd want to describe is how this Fi behaves if we restrict it to one of these blocks. So how does this Fi look like? Well, it's a very simple kind of functor. We take our module, and we take the tensor product with the defining representation of GLN, so the simplest possible representation that we can think of, but it's not trivial. And then, well, this is in some sense, this is similar to what Joel did yesterday by multiplication with the Chern class, so this is basically the sum over all the Fi's. Just now we take Fi's, not Ei's. But this is similar to the sum over all of them, so we have to pick out all the summons in some sense, and well, this is a projection to some block, and well, this thing depends on mu, it can be explicitly given just by decreasing the number of i's that appear mu and increasing the number of I plus 1's. This will be mu prime, but I don't want to get that explicitly. But in some sense, this is the whole function. So just tensoring with a simple representation and then projecting to a block. And the ei is defined similarly. Just that we don't take C to the N, but we take, so that all the properties are fulfilled of the joints and stuff like that, we take a dual representation. So these will give us functors, and in contrast to the quantum case, there won't be a functor Hi that corresponds to the Ki, because, well, in the classical case, you have the problem that Hi acts on quite a lot of weight spaces by a negative number, and categorifying a negative number is quite half because you don't have minus the identity functor or stuff like that. So you have to stick with Fi or Ei in that sense. Well, then the theorem by the authors that I mentioned further, first BFK and then Brunton and Kleshev, is that this T lambda is a categorification of this module T lambda via these functors Ei and Fi. So we have this categorification, as I said, for now only for the very special type of weight, some multiple of the first fundamental weight, but we'll see how that will give us all the others later, but now we have to, of course, lift this to the quantum case. Of course, the first problem in the quantum case is we have a Q in there. Of course, there's no meaning of Q in this setup. I mean, of course, you can just tensor Grothendieck group over Z with that ZQ, but well, then the Q has no meaning in it, so it will just not do anything. So we have to find some meaning for the Q, for these categories. Well, since we can multiply with Q and Q inverse, we have to find some operation that you can invert, so some equivalence of our categories for the Q and the inverse for the Q minus 1. And well, there are a lot of possibilities for that. You can could, for example, look at something like triangulated categories or derived categories, but another possibility is to just look at graded categories. So we need graded modules over some algebra. Of course, there's a small problem here. If you look at category O, it's modules over the Lie algebra, or it's universal enveloping algebra, it's not graded. You can somehow introduce a grading by going to the associate graded, but well, you won't get an interesting category. So you need something else, and this something else goes back to the work of Bernstein, Ginzburg, and Zörgl. What you can do, you can substitute category O for a graded version, but not taking a category of graded modules, but for each block itself, take a category of graded modules. Surely want to recall how that works. So what do we do? Well, as before, we have mu dominant weight. Then we have the corresponding block. In a block, we have a lot of projective modules. And if especially we have indecomposable projective modules, they also form a basis as the Wermer modules over there, just an alternative basis. And well, about all theorems of Ringel, about Morita equivalence, one can see that these projective modules, they play a very important role. So especially we look at the following projective module. So we look at the following sum of projective modules. So this projective module, PW mu, this is the projective cover of LW mu, and this LW mu is exactly the simple module that corresponds to the Wermer. So this is the irreducible hat of MW mu. And all these three types of modules give a basis for the Grothendieck group. We'll later see that each of these bases really play an important role in representation theory on the other side. If we look at these, then there's an old theorem that this is a minimal projective generator of our block. Well, so that's just a nice word, but what does it mean that the projective generator? It means that we can substitute the block by using right modules over this generator, or to be precise, it's endomorphism algebra. So that means that the block omu of GLN is equivalent to, we take modules, over the endomorphism ring of this P mu. And let me just call this algebra here mu. So what we have succeeded with is we have taken a block and viewed it as a category of modules of a very simple algebra. So this can be really described as an algebra for with a quiver and everything like that. So we have a quiver with relations. I mean, it's not a simple quiver as you would like for quiver theorists, but nevertheless is a quiver that is explicit. But what's important is that this algebra has a lot of interpretations, especially in geometry, and from the geometry side, it inherits a grading. So it's a graded algebra. So there's a theorem by Bernstein, Ginzburg, and Zörgl that this A mu is a positively graded algebra. And for anyone who wants to look it up, this is called the Kochel grading. And what's really strange about this grading is that if you first look at it, it has no Lie theoretic interpretation. I mean, it just has some grading coming from the geometry of this exact block. And the geometry is exactly the geometry of the flag variety corresponding to this mu that describes the kind of partial flags that you use. And then some either coherent or perverse sheaves. I don't know at the moment. So it's really, if you just look at it, it's at no Lie theoretic meaning. You can give it some by using the Janssen situation of the universally enveloping algebra. But well, that's on itself quite difficult. But nevertheless, it's graded, so we can look at graded modules. And that will exactly be the definition of the graded category O. So graded category O is not really a category of graded modules for the universally enveloping algebra, but you grade each block by itself. So then the definition is that we take the corresponding graded block by just looking at G modules, so graded modules, over this A mu. So a priori, it's of course not clear how this category relates to the previous one. I mean, it could be that we lose a lot of modules. Could be that we, not all Verma modules or simples have a graded lift, so a module such that if we forget the grading, we get our old module back. But luckily, that doesn't happen. So the first part is of the remark that all modules that we basically look at, so simples, projectives, Verma modules, they all have a graded lift. So they can all be equipped with a grading such that if we forget the grading, we get our module back, which is of course not clear a priori. So of course, let me just write this in quotation marks. So all important modules have a graded lift. And of course, if we want to look at it for quantum group, of course, if we take a representation and move to the quantum group, the representation will still have the same dimension. Weight spaces will have the same dimension. So these blocks should better have a Grothendieck group that has the same dimension as before. And it would be best if, well, the basis doesn't really change. We can take just lifts of Verma modules and these form a basis. And well, this category is that nice. It really does this. So K0 of this O mu Q of GLN has a basis. You take your old Verma module. Just put a small twiddle over it for the lift. And then for each W in W mu. So we basically have the same dimension. And of course, you can also take the lift for the simples and the lift for the indecomposable projectives. It's essentially all the same. So you have a category that, as a Grothendieck group, has exactly the same structure. So you have the obvious candidate for our TQ lambda, just taking the same blocks, just putting a Q everywhere. So that should do the trick. We take the same thing as above. And as this TQ lambda, but I didn't just write, so the sum over all mu, the mu's will always be the same. So of course, as a vector space, we've already checked via this remark that it has the same dimension. And since it's graded, it has an action of Q. So the Grothendieck group is a ZQ Q to Q inverse module. So we can really make sense of the Q and tend it with ZQ. So that's not the problem. But of course, we need a bit more for the categorification. We also need the functors. Well, and that's somehow where all the problems start. So we still need graded lifts of the functors. So, and well, that's doable, but it requires a bit of work. Well, so let us just first look at what should the functors do on the level of Grothendieck group. So in other words, just take a base element and see what happens if I, for example, apply an Fi to it. Let's just look at that. So we look at VQ omega 1. We're still in that case where we only need this fundamental representation. And look at the following basis. And of course, we want this to be the basis such that Fi of Vj is Vi plus 1. Of course, the Ei and the Ki act accordingly. Don't want to write all that down. We just make a simple calculation. Just look at what happens if we take just a product of these basis elements and look what happens. So, of course, we get sum over all those aj that are equal to I, some q to the mj. And here we have the aj, but there the fi acts, so this will be an I plus 1. So we have the sum and the mj's. Well, they are quite simple. It's the number of L greater than j such that aj is equal to I plus 1 minus the sum of the i's that are right to our element. Of course, well, I didn't specify what the co-multiplication is, but from this rule you can deduce that it's a co-multiplication where the k minus 1 is on the right side of the tensor product. So if you choose the other co-multiplication, this just swaps and you have to adjust the translation functions a bit, but it works as well. So what we have to do is we have to find a list of the translation function that basically on the Grothendieck group level does the same thing. And well, that's the first theorem that can be done. So there exists a list Fi tilde of F such that we have the following. If we look at Fi tilde and apply it to a list of some Verma module, they are all labeled by these tuples, so we just choose an arbitrary one. Then we get a sum. Then exactly the same thing as above, just that instead of the cubes, we get some grading shifts. And here we get a grading shift by minus mj. So in other words, q to the minus 1 acts as the grading shift by 1. Let me just say some words about, not read the proof, but the way this is constructed. So of course, first, you have to construct this function in some sense. And the problem is in all of these functors, and especially the graded ones, that if you really want to construct the whole functor, they are quite hard to construct. But they have a nice property. They are so-called projective functors. And they are uniquely determined if you know what they do on one Verma module for each block, and exactly the top one, so the one that corresponds to the dominant weight. And so we define this Fi tilde for dominant Verma. So these are exactly the ones that correspond to the identity in each of these blocks. By using a functor defined by Zörgl, which already exists in the work of Bernstein and Ginsburg and others. B, and what this functor does, basically takes us from a block of category O to modules of a cohomology ring of a flag variety. Essentially what you have to do, for each of these blocks, you have a flag variety, you have the cohomology ring, and you just specify a bimodule for these two cohomology rings. And the bimodule is just a cohomology ring for a third flag variety. So this is just use the functor and the geometry of flag varieties. Or if you don't want to use the geometry, you can also just use the combinatorics of covariant rings. It's exactly the same. And as I said, for this dominant one, it's uniquely defined. If you know what the dominant one does, then the functor itself is defined. Then, of course, you have to check the equality up there for the dominant vermers. But in essence, that's just a simple calculation, because the dominant vermer on the geometry side corresponds to the trivial representation over the cohomology ring. So it's the one-dimensional representation, the trivial one. You just tender this with a bimodule, which of course just kills some coefficients. Then you look at the base of this module. So this is something that's really simple, and just simple combinatorics or calculations in the covariant ring. The problem is you have to also check this for all the other vermers. There you use something that's called twist functors. I don't want to explain this, but just to tell you how one calculates these. A twist functor essentially is something like, if you know what a parabolic module for an affine Hecker algebra is, it's basically multiplying the Kaschner-Lustig base element of such a module with a simple generator of the Hecker algebra. So there are some formulas involving Q's and everything, and the Q's in the way give you those up there. So it's exactly the same calculation as above, just with some Kaschner-Lustig basis elements. So in that sense, you get this functor, and of course, you also need the EI tilde, but this, again, is defined in exactly the same way. You use the same construction, just the dual bimodule in some sense. And, well, what about the KIs? Well, if you know what a KI does on a weight space, well, it's just multiplication by some power of Q. And the Q is exactly, the power of the Q is exactly determined by your weight. Okay, multiplication with Q is just grading shift. So this KI and KI to the minus 1 is just a grading shift on each block. You can exactly specify which one. So this is no problem. It can really be defined. So in contrast to the classical case, you really categorify all the generators of your Quentin group, not just the E's and F's. And of course, then the theorem is that this is a categorification. And what's important for this is, as I said up here, these projective functors are defined if you know what they do on the dominant vermer. So in essence, what you have to do, you just have to calculate what happens with the dominant vermer and the Grothendieck group. So basically, you don't have to do anything with the category in here. You just calculate the Grothendieck group, so just do some linear algebra. So it's not really hard. But well, there's still one problem. What if we want to have a general lambda and not just multiple of the first fundamental weight, which is a very, very simple case, and a very, very special one. So in that case, we have to use some more general categories, which are harder to describe, but all the stuff that we need can always be deduced from this category. And the ones that we use are the so-called parabolic category O's. Well, although the parabolic category O is something that's quite difficult to work with, in essence, what it is, if you have other fundamental representation, not just the first one, it's of course just wedge products of p to the k plus 1. Of course, this is always a quotient or a submodule of just taking tensor products. So in essence, you just have to take a really, really big normal category O, and then we'll use some parabolic to make it smaller. And the parabolic, the blocks of the parabolic exactly correspond to your wedge products. So let me just write this down more exactly. So we have the general case. So lambda is now really the sum over some lambda I omega I. And let me denote by big N, capital N, decay, and then lambda I times I. So we ordered in such a way that the copies of omega k are at the beginning, then come the copies for omega k minus 1, and so on, so that the blocks are decreasing, so in the end we get Young tableau and not strange Young tableau with a corner on the upper right side. So the parabolic is the following. We first use k times k blocks, and for this we want exactly lambda k blocks. Then we use k minus 1 times k minus 1 blocks. These are exactly lambda k minus 1, and so on up to, at the bottom, just the 1 times 1 blocks. And these are exactly lambda 1. And if you look at it, this is exactly a parabolic in GL capital N. We want to use this parabolic to make our categories a bit smaller. Let me first write this down in the general categorical framework, and then in a simple way to write this in just tableau and just swapping some columns of a tableau, which is all that is done really in this category. So the first thing that we want to have is we use parabolic category O. So O P or PQ for the greatest version. But let me just describe how it looks for this OP. The greatest version then can be done in a similar way as before, but it's more complicated. So what is OP? This is the same as O, so just write this definition in quotation marks, not really exact. The same as O, but P locally finite. So you just don't want locally finiteness for your Borel, but for the bigger parabolic. Which means that this obviously is a subcategory of the normal category O. I mean, anything that's P locally finite is of course also B locally finite. And of course, if we plug in the Borel as our parabolic, it will of course be just category O. There's nothing special there. Of course, we can also do the other extreme and plug in as the parabolic of the whole block, so GLN, or the whole Lie algebra. Of course, if you look at modules that are finitely generated and locally finite for the whole Lie algebra, in the end, this will get us finite dimensional modules. Well, this category also has other applications. If you look at, for example, maximal parabolic in type A, this, for example, categorifies Kovanov homology, and similar things can also be used for Homflip cohomology and stuff like that. So it has some nice applications. And well, what we want to do is look at the following diagram of categories. So we start on the upper left with the following. We take, as before, the sum over some mu. So mu is again as before, just mu 1 up to mu capital N, mu I between 1 and k plus 1. And then we use those blocks. So that was exactly the categorification for the tensor product. So then we have the same category below. And here we have those functors fi and ei. And as I said, here we can look at the parabolic version. So it has the same block decomposition. We have some inclusion functor here. Let me denote this by t lambda. So of course, if p is the Borel, then this is exactly the same t lambda as before. Again, t lambda. So what we want is we have these functors, we have these subcategories, and we want to restrict these functors to the subcategories. So the question is, what happens here? Of course, if we want to do this, well, we can go from this category over here by just the inclusion, apply the functor, and then we have to somehow go back. Well, we are lucky there. This functor has an adjoint, so-called Zuckerman functor. In reality, this is only really defined on the derived category, but if you take the right Vermers, they are all concentrated in degree zero, cohomology degree zero, so you can really do it on the usual category. And well, then there's an old theorem. This easily works, so you can get these functors down here, so they restrict. But the problem is these are not the subcategories we wanted. There should always be a Q in there. So we always have to put Q in here, which twiddles over there. And if that happens, well, then you just have to prove it again, but it works in the similar way as before. Just a bit more complicated with the grading. But in the end, you get that those functors restrict. So the first is these ei tildes and fi tildes restrict to the subcategory. And the second part, well, you have to, of course, check what's the dimension of this subcategory. You check it, you see, well, the dimension is exactly the one of the wedge product, so it has the right dimension. The functors, well, if they restrict, they still have the same relations, so they still satisfy everything for the Quantum group. Weight spaces are also all correct, so this is a categorification for T2 lambda in general. Let me just describe this combinatorially, what happens, because it's on the category level, it has some complications and also in the combinatorics of Weyl groups. But if you look at all of this from the viewpoint of Tableau, it's really, really simple what happens. So let me just write down what these two functors, the inclusion and the Zuckerman, what they do on the level of Tableau. So let me start with the category that we have to the left side over here, so just usual blocks for category O. All the graded versions, the bases are labeled by the same stuff, so it doesn't matter. So bases for GLN. So, as I said, this is in one-to-one bijection with this set V mu. So these are shortest coset representatives. Of course, what does it mean in Tableau? Well, those are just basically the same as one row Tableau, just with an arbitrary filling from mu 1 up to mu n, so not increasing or anything. These with n boxes and filling mu 1 up to mu n in arbitrary order, completely without any restrictions. And then we look at this thing, Well, this, as I said, it's a subcategory, and its Grothendieck group has a basis that's really a subset of the basis above. So it's labeled by a subset of this group, or not this group, but this set. And well, this set is, from the viewpoint of Y-group combinatorics, a bit strange. So we look at shortest left coset representatives, such that the following holds. So if we look at any element in the stabilizer, then we can look at W times V. So any other element in the same left coset, then this is, of course, contained in to the parabolic. We have an associated parabolic subgroup of the Weyl group. So this is, of course, contained in its own right coset. And this should always be minimal. Or the shortest representative. So we look at those left cosets where every element of the coset is the shortest representative for its own right coset. So that's, from a viewpoint of Weyl group combinatorics, quite strange. But if we look at it from a viewpoint of tableau, it's, well, a simple set. And what does it mean that something is minimal for its right coset? Well, that just means we have those blocks, which means we have these parts of the boxes, the first k, the second k, lambda k times those, and the k minus 1 parts. And the indices should always be increasing, which means that the entries, since that's exactly ordered the other way around, should always be decreasing. So in other words, we have in each of these, we have in each of these parts, we have decreasing sequences, not necessarily strictly decreasing, but decreasing sequences. But then we have an additional information. We also have that it should be minimal for each representative of the right coset, which means if we swap two boxes that have the same content, the indices should always be strictly increasing, which means in none of these intervals we can swap two boxes that have the same content, because, I mean, the indices will be swapped, and just one of those two can be increasing. So in other words, for each of these parts of this row, there can never be the same entries again. Never two entries can coincide, so they just don't only have to be decreasing, they have to be strictly decreasing. So this set is exactly, well, we first have lambda k columns of height k, then lambda k minus 1 of height k minus 1, and so on, up to lambda 1 of height 1, with filling mu 1 up to mu n, and they should be column strict. And what the inclusion functor basically does, it takes one of these tableaus, and it just takes all the columns and swaps them down to the row, nothing more. And what the Zuckerman does on the other side is it takes one of these row diagrams, just takes the parts corresponding to the parabolic, and just flips them up to the tableau size. If something then is not a column-strict tableau, the Wermer corresponding to that is killed. So on the level of tableau, it's just really taking the diagram up there, flipping some boxes, and if it's not column-strict, then you kill it, and if it's column-strict, then it survives. And, well, if you have a T in here, the corresponding Wermer, call that MT, or MT tilde if I use the Q in there, but that's all the same. But of course, there are some obvious observations here where we have column-strict tableau of the size that we exactly need for the highest weight representation, V lambda. It's exactly the right size for tableau. They are column-strict already. So we have to see, well, what about the semi-standard tableaus? They're all in there. So they probably should give us the highest weight representation that sits in there. The problem, of course, is we can't just take a subcategory by generated by those Wermers or something like that. That will never be stable under those functions that we find, so we need some cohomological or categorical property for these modules. And, well, there's some work by Brandon and Clefis that, in the non-graded case, answers that, but goes through in the graded case as well. So the following are equivalent. So the first is T is semi-standard. The second, we can look at the symbol that corresponds to this Verma. It has maximal so-called Gerlafond-Gerilov dimension. And perhaps a bit easier to understand is what happens with the projective. The projective that corresponds to T is self-dual. And these are some cohomological properties that one can look at if one applies translation functors, or these functors Fi that are defined. And for example, what one sees is it will always decrease the Gerlafond-Kirillov dimension, which means that a subcategory of modules that don't have Gerlafond-Kirillov dimension maximal will be, mapped into itself by these functors Fi. So we can take the subcategory, which is a fair subcategory, and quotient it out to get a quotient category. And this will exactly be the category that we want for categorifying the highest weight module. Let me just write this down how it works. It always works with a homomorphism functor for some projective, all these quotient functors. So the structure of the functor itself is not that hard. So we define again P lambda, and now we take all the semi-standard tableau and the corresponding projective. And well, we make a small twiddle over it because it's all the graded lifts. And then since this is a projective, we have a functor HOM P lambda blank, which goes from our category TQ lambda to modules over the endomorphism ring of P lambda. So in this category, I'll denote by OQ lambda. This is really a quotient functor, which really takes a category and kills everything that factors to anything in the subcategory. And well, then the theorem is again, as before, basically, just a bit of work, is that, well, we have functors over here, and they descend to the subcategory, or to the quotient category. Exactly. So if you want to be correct, this is exactly the quotient category. If you quotient out the category of modules that don't have maximal Gerlafond-Kirillov dimension. So these descend to OQ lambda, and for the same reason as before, they still have all the same properties, they still have the same relation with everything, so this will be the categorification of the highest weight module. Of VQ lambda for arbitrary lambda. So you get any highest weight module. And of course, you can play around with this a bit. I mean, we had the Verma basis here. This will, of course, be mapped to the standard basis in this thing in here. So you can, of course, ask what happens with the other basis. You have the projective, you have the simples. The projective will correspond to the canonical basis in here. The simples will be the dual canonical basis or semi-canonical, one of those two. You can also look at the tilting modules. They will also give something interesting in here. Of course, by basically specializing the Q to 1, or not 0, you will, of course, get the crystal in here, but just some subset and can play around with that. But since my time is up, I'll stop. It's basically, you could say it's causal dual to it. So basically what you get here, I mean, they get a grading for these blocks of cyclotomic Hecke algebras via their approach. So basically you get the causal dual version of also getting this grading and the conjectures that those two coincide. So basically you could say that it's dual to this and mean that you really, I mean, you you get it with the quantum group and also the ambient tensor space. So that's basically the connection.